Invite you to open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read two verses for our text tonight, and if you find your place in 2 Corinthians, would you stand with me if you're able for the reading of God's Word tonight? I want to share a very simple message with you tonight that is profoundly important for you to understand, and a great message that you need to have not only for yourself, but to take to everyone you meet. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, I thank you for Christ our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Lord, I pray that you would impress it upon every heart that hears this message that Christ died for them. Lord, I thank you that Christ died for me. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be a faithful ambassador, a minister of reconciliation, that you would use me to reach others with the glorious gospel. And not only me, Lord, but every person that hears this message, everyone who's been born again, that we would go and help to reconcile people to you through the preaching, through the sharing, through the proclaiming of the gospel of Christ. Thank you that you died for us. And if there's anyone listening to this message tonight who has never been born again, I pray tonight your Holy Spirit would impress on their heart the truth that you died for them, and that tonight they would repent of their sin and their unbelief, that tonight they would pray and ask you to forgive them and ask you to be their Savior. We pray, Lord, for those that are saved, that they would follow you in baptism, serve you faithfully in the church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help this church to be a healthy church, to be a church that worships you in spirit and truth, to be a church that is evangelistic, reaching our community and beyond with the gospel, supporting those men that you've called to other places in the work of reaching the world with the gospel. Help us to be a disciple-making church, Lord, and help all of us to be what you've called us to be. Please help me from nothing without you. Bless your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to tell you tonight that Christ died for you. Christ died for you. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. There's a guy that I've had the opportunity to try to share the gospel with several times over the past couple of years, and just a couple of weeks ago, talked to him a little bit again, but he said that the gospel didn't really matter to him, and what he was saying is it didn't really apply to him. And what I said to him was, it doesn't, whether you believe it or not, it matters to you because Christ died for you. Amen. That's really stuck with me. It's been on my heart ever since that day. And I just, you know, it breaks my heart to know that there are people among us, people that you work with, people that you go to school with, people that are in your family, people that are sitting in the pew tonight may not understand Christ died for you. Amen. He died for you. He didn't just die for good people, because there are no good people. And so many people are confused about that. They think that, well, he died for the good people, but there are no good people. And I want you to understand this tonight, that Christ died for you. He says in the text, one died for all, and that he died for all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, you need to understand something. The word gospel literally means good news. But when we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about this, and it's defined clearly for us in Scripture, right here in 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus died for you. He died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and was raised again the third day. That's the gospel. Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Look at this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know that Christ died for you for a lot of reasons, but one of them is this. Christ died for sinners, and Christ died for the ungodly. Do you know who that is? That's everybody. We are all born with a sin nature. Adam's blood courses through our veins, and because he sinned against God, death and sin have passed through all generations, and we are sinners. You want to help me out tonight? You say it with me. We're going to say, I am a sinner. You want to say it with me? Here we go. I am a sinner. It's true, isn't it? Doesn't feel very nice, but it's true. Does it help that everybody else said it too? Not so much. No, the truth is that we are all sinners. And who did Christ die for? Well, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He died for the ungodly. He died for the wicked. Friends, that's all of us. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Amen. It was ordained by God that Jesus would become a man and he would suffer to pay for the sins of the whole world, that he would die for you. Christ died for you. Number two, he died for you because you were dead and he loves you. Amen. He died for you because you were dead and he loves you. In our text, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And you may look at yourself tonight and say, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher, because I'm not dead. I'm very much alive. I'm breathing. My heart's beating. I lived my day today, so I'm alive. I'm not dead. But spiritually, without Christ, you are dead. Amen. Spiritually, without Christ, we were all dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 lays this out for us beautifully, and I want you to see it with me tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you hath he quickened. Now, can anybody tell me what the word quickened means? Anybody? Made alive. To be quickened means to be made alive. That may be confusing for you, because maybe you thought it made you faster. And I could have used some of that. God didn't make me faster. He did something far better. He made me alive. Amen. Made me alive. I was alive physically, but I was dead spiritually, and Christ made me alive. Look at it. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. If you're saved tonight, before you were saved, before you were made alive, you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, he says in verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. If you didn't catch that, when Jesus died for the ungodly, he died for me and you because he died for all of us who were the children of wrath. Amen. He died for all of us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. He died for all of us who went with the way of the world, who did what the devil wanted us to do, and who had our conversation, our lifestyle was just like everybody else. And somebody here tonight might say, well, preacher, I was pretty good before I got saved, and I'm really good now. If you think you were pretty good before you got saved, you just don't understand how your sin compares to the holiness of God. Amen. You may think you know how your sin compares to other people around you. You're probably wrong about that too. But what we need to understand is how our sin compares to the holiness of God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were the children of wrath, even as others. But look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were going with the world and the devil and the flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, whose mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, whose mercy endureth forever, he loved us with a great love. And when you trust in the death of Christ for your sins, he saves you by his grace. And it's not of any merit of our own. It's nothing we earn. It's all his grace. He died for you because you were dead and because he loves you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And can I just take a little sidebar here and say, aren't you glad that even when you sin after you're saved, Jesus still loves you? Amen. And he still advocates for you? People get confused about that a lot of times when they're not saved. They say, well, if I get saved, what if I mess up? And I usually say, you mean when you mess up? If you mess up, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Amen. He's the one that stands in your behalf. He's the one that stood in your place when he died on the cross, and he stands in your place still. Amen. Your salvation rests in Jesus, not in your performance. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I meet a lot of people who are convinced that they could get saved and they can mess up and lose their salvation and you get saved again. I meet people that believe that all the time. And I just want you to understand this as plainly as I can say it tonight. If your salvation depends on you at all, if it's 99.999% Jesus and 0.0001% you, you will go to hell forever. It can't be Jesus plus anything, because whatever you add to that is going to mess it up. Amen. It's all Christ. Amen. It's him alone. It's him alone. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Look at verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's writing to a church and he's saying, listen, if you mess up, Jesus still loves you. He still advocates for you. But listen, I want you to know that he's the propitiation. He's the atonement. Not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. There are some well-meaning people in the world today who are convinced that Jesus only died for some. But I want to tell you, there's no getting around what this verse says. Amen. It cannot be made any plainer. He didn't just die for us. He died for the sins of the whole world. He didn't just make atonement for some. He made atonement for all. He made atonement for all. The whole world is under the wrath of God. And God's divine justice can be appeased in only one way. You need to get this. That's what propitiation is about. It's the appeasement of wrath. It's the atonement. God's wrath is on mankind, and there's only one way that his wrath can be satisfied, because he is a just judge. He will not turn a blind eye to sin. He will not let sin go unpunished. His justice demands, his holiness demands an atonement. And that's what Christ is. Romans 6:23, you guys are familiar with that. For the wages of sin is? The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. That's the only way that God's wrath can be appeased. That's the only way the atonement can be made. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's not just some arbitrary thing. It's the fact that Jesus died for you. So he can atone for your sins because he died for your sins. And he atoned for my sins because he died for my sins. And he can atone for the sins of anyone because he died for the sins of everyone. Romans 3:23 through 26. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Not only are there those who would argue today that Jesus only died for some, but there are those today who would say, well, if Jesus died for all, then all are automatically saved. And it is simply not biblically true. Amen. He died for all, but it doesn't apply to you unless you believe. Amen. He says it so plainly. God has set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The payment is applied through faith. He's the justifier of him which believe, of them which believe. So salvation is available to everyone. Amen. The blood of Christ was shed to take away the sins of the whole world. But his sacrifice only applies to those who believe. You must repent and believe the gospel. He died for you. He died for you because you were dead, and he loves you. And can I say lastly tonight, if you're alive in Christ, you should live for Christ. If you're alive in Christ, you should live for Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, when I talk to people and they believe you can get saved and unsaved and get saved and unsaved, and you have those conversations with them, this is the accusation that's made almost every time. You Baptists, you once saved, always saved, or whatever they want, whatever label they want to give us, you think that you can get saved and just live like the devil and it doesn't matter. No, I think it matters greatly. I think God is disgusted when people claim Christ and live like the world. I think God is heartbroken. I think his spirit is grieved. I don't think it's okay at all to say that you're following Christ but not following Christ. Now, none of us are perfect, but we ought to be striving to be Christ-like. We ought to be putting off the old man and putting on the new man. We ought to be getting closer and closer to Christ till the day that we die. Being conformed, that's a process. It's not a one-time event, but it's a continual process, being conformed to the image of Christ. Being sanctified, it's a process. And you ought to be more like Jesus today than you were the day you were saved. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He died for us and rose again. He took us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. Well, he mortified, he crucified that old man, and he made us new creatures in Christ. If you're alive in Christ, you ought to live in Christ. We ought to walk a new life. How can we live any longer therein? Can I just say that I believe there's a distinction, if you look at verse 2 there? I think there's a clear distinction between sinning, falling into a sin, having a moment where you commit a sin, and living in sin. I think there's a difference. And someone who's been genuinely born again should not be able to continually live in sin. If you name the name of Christ, if you say you've been born again, but you can continually live in a state of sinfulness, there's something terribly wrong. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 6. We read a little bit ago from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. And he said at the end of that verse 5, he said, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. Then verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you're saved, it's as good as done. He says that in present tense. I'm not literally sitting in heavenly places with Jesus right now, but I am because he said so. It's present tense. It's done. It's done. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see it? We're saved by grace through faith, not works. We're not saved by works, but we are saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're saved, you ought to live like you're saved. Amen. If you are alive in Christ, then you should live for Christ. Why? Because Jesus died for you. Amen. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've lived. You don't know how bad I am. Jesus died for you. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve. You feel unloved by your family. You feel unloved by everybody you know. And it's hard for you to accept this reality, but it is the gospel truth of the Word of God. And I say to you tonight, thus saith the Lord, Jesus loves you. Amen. Christ died for you. Amen. And you can be saved by trusting in him. Amen. Tonight, we're going to stand together. We're going to have a verse of invitation just as soon as they're ready, while they're coming. Will you stand with me? Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and he wants to save you if you'll trust in him. Some of you have been saved for a long time, but it's good to be reminded how much Jesus loves you. It's good to be reminded that he died for you, because when you remember that, his love constrains us. His love gets a hold of us. His love holds on to us and says in our hearts, I have to live for Jesus. I have to put off the old man. I have to live for him. I can't continue living in sin because he died for me and he rose again, and I want to live for him. If you've never been saved, I beg you to trust in Jesus tonight. If you are saved, I encourage you to do what we read tonight. Follow him in baptism. Make a commitment to walk in newness of life. If you've got some unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life, you need to let go of it tonight. You need to let the love of Christ get a hold of your heart right now. If he's convicting, a decision you need to make right where you're at, or come up here, you come while we sing.